Ruth chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your own maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose again to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. You also shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." May God be pleased to grant us grace and blessing as we look into this portion of His Word. Amen. I was very gratified last week that there was not a little acceptance and positive feedback on this whole matter of seeking the Lord and using ordinary means to seek the face of God. And that was principally our theme last week: seek the Lord while He may be found. And as you recall, Ruth, following the word of God, went into the harvest field to glean. And in the providence of God, she came to the field of Boaz. It says in Ruth that she happened to come that way. And of course, that word "happened" has behind it the plans and purposes of God. And we were wrestling with how we as individuals can come to grips with the hidden plans and purposes of God. And my theme was at that time that we come to grips with the hidden plans and purposes of God as we seek the face of God by using ordinary means, by working and reading Scripture and following Scripture and praying and depending upon the providence of God. And that's exactly the case. And Ruth is a wonderful story, how God works out His plans and purposes as Naomi and Ruth together seek the face of God. I'm pursuing that theme this morning again under the title, Benefits of Seeking the Redeemer. And the theme that I'm laying before you in this idea of seeking, I'm giving to you at the head of the outline: God meets us and provides for our physical and spiritual needs as we seek Him using very ordinary means. You see, we're pursuing that theme. And the means are work. Is work really a way of seeking God? Apparently. Study. If you're in college and studying, that would be one of the things that God has called you to do and that you must do. Worship, Bible reading, prayer. These very ordinary means God uses to bring us to Himself and show us His very private plan for each one of us. And this is exactly, again, what is coming to pass in the life of Ruth. And we're looking in this theme at these verses in Ruth chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Let's read verses 8 and 9 again. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." It's an amazing scene. I really do think it is. I probably use that word too often, don't I? It is a great scene that is put before us. And I say in the first point in our outline, Ruth does not know Boaz as the Redeemer. And this is the case. But she follows his directions to labor in his field. In verse 1 in chapter 2, it says, "Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz," a kinsman, a redeemer. And Boaz is this redeemer. He is a picture of Christ in our story of Ruth. He typifies Christ and the redemption that comes through Christ. And Ruth, in her desire to follow up and care for Naomi and for her own welfare and follow the Word of God, comes to the field of Boaz, and she does not know Boaz as the Redeemer. All she knows is that here is an individual at whose hand she may find favor. And she follows the directions of Boaz given to her. Glean in this field, Ruth. Labor in this field, Ruth. And I'll care for you, Ruth. She knows something is taking place here, something profound, and she sees only a glimmer and a glimpse of what the Redeemer has in store for her because she does not yet know Him as the Redeemer. And isn't this so often the case with each one of us? That as we look at our lives, and as we know that God may have things in store for us, and we move forward step by step, we may find blessing. And it's only the tip of the iceberg. It's only a portion of the shower of great blessing that God has in store. It's only a cup of cold water that comes from a greater reservoir of grace and mercy. And we have no idea the extent of the blessing, the extent of the mercy, the extent of the grace that is behind that simple little token that is given to us at first. And this is what happens as Ruth follows the directions of Boaz and labors in that field. In the second point, I say, Ruth sought the favor of one whom she neither previously knew or, as she reaps, now knows. And isn't this the case? Look at verse 2 in Ruth chapter 2. "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I might find favor. I'm hopeful.'" And as a woman who had nothing, literally, nothing except the clothes on her back, she wants to go and eke out a meager living, picking up grain after the reapers. in a barley field. And she says, perhaps I'll find favor from one out there. And then verse 10 says in the second chapter, then she fell on her face after hearing the words of Boaz. She fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why? Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner? You have your job to do. You have your servants. And I'm not from your country and your land. Why is it that I found favor in your sight? In Genesis, it says of Noah, he found favor in the sight of God. And the word which is translated favor is the word grace. Yeah, that's great. It really is. Why have I found grace in your sight? You know why? Because God is a gracious and merciful God. That's why. He said to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. He is gracious. And just this little token of Boaz taking notice of Ruth and saying, glean in this field. And when you're thirsty, come up. Come up to the house here and drink from the water that my servants have drawn. And Ruth sees in that great favor and great grace. I think we can identify with Ruth in this. That the little tokens of God's mercy that come along, we say, thank you. Thank you. And it's an amazing thing, is it not, that it's the little things in life, when we're appreciative of them and take notice of them as favors that come from God, really draw us close to Him. And I'm very appreciative of the fact that many folks look at the small things in life and say, thank you, Lord. And some of you know very well what I'm talking about. That when you can get up out of a chair and walk to the table and take food, and that's a big deal in your life, and you can say, thank you, Lord. That's where Ruth was. Well, Boaz has an answer for Ruth in verses 11 and 12. Boaz replied to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. You see, the interpretation that Boaz puts upon Ruth's actions was that Ruth was seeking God. Now, I think we have to pause a little bit and digest that. I really do. that Ruth's actions in leaving her homeland. You know, in Sterling here, I had to learn this. In Sterling, those of you who have been around here a lot longer than I have, and especially those of you who have grown up in this community, know this far better than I do, that there are names attached to particular pieces of property and houses, right? This is the Kilgore place. And this is the Reed place. Well, most of us would go back two or three more generations because there are significant names attached to the property. And it's significant because there are deep roots in rural communities especially, and families are attached to the land. And this is how it is in rural communities. Sadly, we're getting away from this because of the mobility of our society and of our culture. And we live in a rootless society. And when Ruth left her homeland and left her family, that was a very significant step. Because when she left that land upon which her family had resided probably for generations, she was leaving her roots and her God that was established in that land and associated with that land and coming to a different land and a different people. And years ago, when immigrants would come from various places in Europe and other locations in the world, it was the same. And what does Boaz say about this leaving of her land and coming into Israel and working in his field under his direction? Look at verse 12 again. May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. The King James Version uses the term trust, under whose wings you have come to trust. And the Hebrew word here may be readily translated, seek refuge. Under whose wings you have come for refuge. And so the work, get this, see the work that Ruth is doing in the field, in obedience to the Word of God, and her obedience to Boaz, although she does not know him as the Redeemer, Boaz is interpreting as seeking the refuge of God. Seeking refuge under the wings of the Almighty. And that's the place of refuge. In the very end of Matthew chapter 23, Jesus looks at Jerusalem and he says something like this, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent to her. How often I, Jesus, how often I desired to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. How often I wanted to do that. And you would not. You didn't want that." See, that's the picture of refuge and salvation, of coming to God, of being in that protected place under the shadow of the Almighty, under the wings of the Savior and under the protection of the Redeemer. In Psalm 91, which we just sang, the psalm speaks about the pinions of the great bird and the feathers that are involved there. And the pinions are those feathers around the feet and ankles, if you want to put it this way, of a bird like an eagle or a vulture. And when that great bird stands, the little chicks can hide right up next to the feet of that great bird and hide in that comfortable place, covered by those feathers, in the warmth and security of that place. And Boaz is saying to Ruth, in your work, in your labor, in what you're doing, I perceive that you have come to seek refuge under the wings of the Almighty. Hear those words, dear friends. Because part of the lesson here is that one of the ways that we seek refuge in God is by our ordinary labors day by day in obedience to God and in obedience to the Scriptures. That's one way we do it. And our work and our labor is not divorced from the care of God. Our work and our labor is not divorced from our following of God. Our work and our labor is not divorced from the grace of God and the providence of God at all. And such is the case with Ruth. Well, let's move on in our outline, because there's a significant comparison here. It's a comparison with Abraham. And several of the commentators make this comparison, that as Ruth left her homeland, so it was that Abraham left his homeland. Turn back with me quickly, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12 and those verses that we read a little bit earlier. And look at what Moses says with regard to Abraham. And then look at the interpretation with me in the book of Hebrews. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Go forth, leave your land and the land of your father and your father's house. You're to go out from there. And that's exactly what Ruth did. Now turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at a couple of things that the writer to the Hebrews says about this leaving of the land. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. Why did Abraham leave Ur of the Chaldees and enter into the land of Canaan? And before we read in Hebrews 11:10, let me add this, that if you examine the text in Genesis, you will find that when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, he did so in obedience to the Word of God, yes. But it was not until he came into the land of Canaan, it was not until chapter 15, and sometime later, that Abraham was converted, that God gave him the promise concerning the Savior who was to come, and Abraham believed that promise, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And Abraham traveled from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan, where he was subsequently converted. And what does the writer to the Hebrews say? For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking. He was seeking something else. And that's exactly what Ruth was doing. And in verse 14 it says, "For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own." It's this whole idea of seeking the Lord and seeking His plans and purposes for our lives. How do we discern what God is going to do? Well, one of the ways that you seek the Lord, dear friends, is you just have to get out in the workaday world and plod along day by day doing your thing as God would have you do it. That's what you have to do. And you have to pray. And you have to read the Bible. And as we said last week, you know, the plans and purposes of God for us are not going to come out of heaven on a little balloon attached and slowly drift down to us with a little note that says, "Denny, this is what I've got to do for you." Or, "This is what I've got for you to do in these next days." It doesn't happen that way. We have to look to God, do our work, and depend upon the providence of God and His leading as we do our work. It's an absolute essential ingredient in the Christian life. And so I'm saying that Abraham sought God before his conversion, leaving home and people. And this is, in essence, what Ruth was doing also, before she knew who the Redeemer was. Next week, the lesson is in the subsequent verses in Ruth that Naomi introduces Ruth to the Redeemer. And in the meantime, what is Ruth doing? She is faithful to what she knows. Well, let's read on in Ruth. Ruth chapter 2 and verses 13 through 16. Notice again what she says in verse 13. "Then she said, 'I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants.' At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. And when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" Can you imagine the wonder that was in the heart of Ruth at this moment? Imagine the favor that I found in this field working from the owner of the field. And she can't wait to get back to Naomi and say to Naomi, "You know what happened today?" And it's an exciting thing when we can pass on a word like that. "You know what happened today?" It's an exciting thing. I know that some of you have experienced this, as we have, and your kids call up on the phone and they say, "You know what happened today? You know what we did today?" And they're excited. And that's where Ruth is. And as I pondered this again, I had to think to myself, "You know, Denny, a long time ago, when you came to faith in Christ and you walked away from a chaplain's office after really hearing the gospel for the first time, really hearing it, and you walked up a little hill away from this chaplain's office and looked back at that chaplain's office And you ask the question, why me, Lord? Because of your grace and love. That was the answer. And that was only the beginning. That was only the beginning. It was just a little bit of the grace and care and compassion that was to come later. And this is what's happening in the life of Ruth. She is so excited about what is transpiring in her life at that moment. She has no idea that God has even greater things in store for her. And isn't that how it is for you and me? I say yes. This is how God works. And so in the fifth point, I'm saying Ruth found favor from the Redeemer she did not know by simple, time-honored work. By just getting out there and doing that menial work. I remember after getting out of the army and wondering what in the world we were going to do, that I took a job in a plant printing Time magazine week by week for $2.10 an hour. And God sustained us through that period of time. And I had no idea, as I day by day got up to go to work, or night by night, as it was in this case, a night shift, I had no idea what God had in store further down the road in ministry. None at all. But it was because of just doing that work and doing it under God and seeking the face of God that other work in God's providence materialized. This is how God works. And there is greater grace as we look down the road. And so finally, I'm wrapping this up by saying, God meets us and provides for our physical and our spiritual needs as we seek Him using ordinary means. J.I. Packer has a book called Knowing God. And in that book, he talks about people who want a word from God, an extraordinary word from God. And then he talks about Abraham a little bit in that context. And he says, you know, if you check out how many times God spoke to Abraham carefully, you'll note that it was only a handful of times over a great number of years. And that's really the case. Check it out. And J.I. Packer says, unfortunately, too many people are interested in receiving an extraordinary word from God when they neglect the ordinary means where God speaks. And that would be in the Bible and in His providence. Ruth didn't neglect that at all. Imagine what would have happened in the book of Ruth Well, imagine what would have happened, not in the book of Ruth, because the book of Ruth would not be in the Bible. Imagine what would have happened if Ruth had said to Naomi, I'm not going back with you to that land. Or once she got in the land, she said, Boaz, that field over there looks a little greener to me. And didn't stay in Boaz's field to labor. Would we have the book of Ruth? No, we wouldn't. Would David have come through Ruth and Boaz? No, David would not have come through Ruth and Boaz. Would Jesus Christ look back and see in His genealogy this woman, Ruth? No, it wouldn't be the case. And so I say to you, dear friends, seek God. Seek God using the ordinary means of work and labor and study and prayer, and as you seek the Lord, while He may be found. The Bible says, and this is the Word of God, the Bible says, there is greater grace, that we may expect at the hands of the Redeemer. Let's pray together. Father, help us to grasp this message and see in the life of Ruth this activity so mundane, but yet so good in Your providence. Help us to see it, Father, properly. And God grant that we may seek Your face by carrying out our regular duties day by day, in our homes, in our families, at school. And we trust in Your providence, Father, in Your care, that greater grace is indeed in store. Help us to understand that this is the case. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.